Somebody's awake out there. Well, note to self, get the real dog. Don't bring a fake possum. Don't keep their attention. I didn't think that the parents would appreciate a wet dog smell on their kids, so I made the call to leave them at home. Well, if you have your Bibles, we've been in the book of Matthew the last couple weeks, and we're going to continue there today. And I want to remind us a little bit of what we talked about a few weeks ago, and talking about Peter walking on, or Jesus walking on water and having faith and asking Jesus to call him out on the water. Y'all remember that story? I don't need to tell you the whole thing, but the bottom line is that Jesus showed up. The disciples were scared. He said, "Don't worry, it's me." And so then Peter, being the bold, prove it kind of guy he is, he said, "Lord, call to me." And he called to him, and he walked out on the water, and he began to look at the waves and the wind, and he began to sink. Why? Because he took his eyes off of Jesus. And so when Jesus got Peter to the boat, he said, "You have little faith," kind of scorning him for not trusting and having faith in him. And so today I want to kind of contrast that faith with a story of tremendous faith. Today I want to share that story with you, and it's found in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. It's the Syrophoenician woman. And so a little history before we get to that is that Jesus has been going around doing his ministry and healing folks, and all the while he's being harassed by the Jews. Okay, I mean, they're calling him out. We saw last week about oral tradition, that he had a run-in with the Pharisees and the scribes, and it just seems like as Jesus continues to do his ministry and all the way up until the end of his life, he went to battle with the Jews, with the Pharisees and the scribes over this, and so he continues to do his ministry, continues to heal people and do great miracles, but in this part we see that Jesus takes a break. He takes a break from all the harassment. He goes north. And he goes north to Israel, the region of Tyre and Sidon. It's a Gentile coastal region of Phoenicia. Tyre was about 35 miles from Galilee, and Sidon was about 60 miles from Galilee. So if you're a geographical person and you like to run it all through in your head, you understand that Jesus has gone north out of Galilee, and he is in Tyre right now. So Tyre and Sidon are also places that are mentioned earlier in Matthew chapter 11 and 21. Jesus says, "Woe to you, Chorazin, and woe to you, Bethsaida, for if miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." So Jesus is, in Matthew chapter 11, is talking to these cities that he's preaching to the Jews, and he's telling them about good things and showing them miracles and whatnot, and they're just not responding. And so he calls them out in 21 and says, "Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, if the people in Tyre and Sidon," which is where Jesus just went now in chapter 15, "heard or saw these miracles, they would have repented. They would have been in sackcloth and ashes. They would have got down on their faces and repented." And so what he's doing here is he's drawing a sharp contrast between their faith and the faith of these Gentiles that are in these Phoenician cities. And he's saying, "Listen, I have done miracles. I have done significant miracles in your town, and I've been all around here, and nothing. I'm getting nothing from you." And so Jesus takes a break. He takes a break from all the harassment, and he heads north. And he heads north into the town, into Tyre, and that's where he meets the Syrophoenician woman. And in verse 21, it says, 21 through 28, we'll start in 21 through 22, it says this: "Jesus went away from there, and he withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, 'Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed.'" Verse 23, it says, "But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, 'Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us.' But he answered and he said, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel.' But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' But she said, 'Yes, Lord.' But even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed. So Jesus takes a break in verse 21 through 22, and he heads to here. He meets the Syrophoenician woman. And she comes to him, and she calls out to him with a messianic title. She calls out to him. She says, Lord, Son of David. So she's already showing great faith and reverence to him. And she's a Gentile. Now, you have to understand a little bit of history right now that Jesus was sent to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Okay? Or Jew and then the Gentile. And so Jesus is preaching to the Jews right now. Okay? And because the Jews were God's chosen people. And the Jews were supposed to be the ones that took the message that Jesus brought and then distributed it to the rest of the world. But when Jesus begins to preach to them and teach to them, they reject him. They don't believe in his word. They don't follow him. And they instead follow themselves and their oral traditions, as we covered last week. And so Jesus continues to preach and do these great things. And here comes this Canaanite woman. And she comes to him first off and foremost with the messianic title, humbling herself, saying, Lord, Son of David, please help me. Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. You see, we know from chapters 11 where Jesus uses this passage where he says, Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for the miracles occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago and set cloth and ashes. Which shows us that Jesus hadn't done the miracles in these places. And so this woman was strictly coming by word of mouth, understanding that what she had heard about Jesus and the things that he could do, and understanding that he was the Messiah that they talked about. So she came in hopes and in faith, very strong faith, that Jesus could, in fact, take care of her. And so we see here in 23, it's weird how what happens here. It's weird how Jesus responds to this young lady. He says, but he did not answer her a word. He gives her the silent treatment. We're all thinking, well, that's kind of mean. It's kind of mean. Many different thoughts on this is that maybe Jesus was testing her faith to see where she was. Then others just say that Jesus was taking a moment to just think about what was next. In 24, it says this. He answered her and he said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then verse 25, but she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. He reminds her of the fact that he was coming to the house of Israel. He's coming to the Jews. That he was sent there first to them and then to the Gentiles. He was reminding her of that, and she again didn't take that for no. She said, please, Lord, help me. She had very, very strong faith. She knew that Jesus had what she needed, and she wasn't going to stop until she got it. The disciples are getting fed up. They're saying, Lord, just do away with her. And some believe that means that the disciples just wanted Jesus to heal her and heal her daughter and just send her away. Others believe that the disciples just wanted her to go because she was shouting at them and trying to get Jesus to do these things. And so there's a couple different schools of thought on that. But the bottom line is that woman, this Syrophoenician woman, had tremendous faith in trusting in the fact that Jesus had the power to, in fact, heal her demon-possessed daughter. And she wasn't going to give up until something happened, until somebody either carried her out or Jesus healed her daughter. Amen. Folks, there's a lesson in there for you and me to learn. That we need to have faith like this Syrophoenician woman. We need to understand and know that the power comes from Jesus Christ and having him as Lord in our lives. And that is a tremendous power source for us. As I spoke to the students on Saturday at the Merrimack Baptist Association, I told them about the parable that Jesus tells about the man who built his foundation on a solid rock and the other man who built his foundation on sand. And when the wind and the rain came, the man's house was built on the sand. There was a great collapse. And I told them that they needed to build their foundation on Jesus, who is the rock. Because other things in this world, we talked about being on a bandwagon and being a part of these crazy things that their culture is pushing them to do. And I said, listen, there are a lot of things that are going to come and they're going to go and they're going to want you to be a part of these things, but those fads end. And when those fads end, they leave you empty and they leave you thirsty. And I told them that day, I said, you need to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Understand that He is the power. He is the Messiah. He paid the price for our sins, and He has overcome death, and He sits at the right hand of our Father, and one day He's going to come back for us and take us home to glory. You need to say amen there, folks, because if you don't believe that, we're going to hell. Understand it? I mean, it's just as simple as that. Either Jesus is going to come back and take you home to glory, or you're going to hell. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We either love Jesus, follow Jesus, commit our lives to Jesus, or we deserve a spot in hell because we have sin in our lives. Jesus paid the price for that sin, and if we would only accept Him and live for Him and build our foundation on Him and have faith in Him each and every day that He's going to pull us through and take care of us, if we believe that, then our lives will be so much more joyful because we've got a place. We've got a purpose. We've got something to look forward to, even though our week might be filled with junk, might be filled with disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. We can have joy because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and the fact that God is in control. This Syrophoenician woman had faith. She didn't argue with Jesus that He was to go to the Jew first. He didn't argue. And Jesus uses a reference here that when we keep reading, we're thinking, man, Jesus is really just being harsh to this gal. But you got to understand the history here. If you go on in verse 20, we'll finish it, we'll go 24. But He answered her and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and began to bow down before Him, saying, Lord, help me. And He answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Do you see what I did there with the whole dog thing this morning? It would have worked a lot better if I had a dog instead of a possum. But that picture that we painted for the kids earlier about a family sitting around a table and a dog under the table begging. You all have been there before. If it wasn't your dog, it was somebody else's dog. The problem with Colt is he's the same height as the table. So you see this nose and eyes. But you understand a begging dog. And anytime you throw that dog scraps, I don't know about your dogs, but my dog, it doesn't even seem like he tasted it. And here, Jesus uses this example of a family at a table, and the children being the children, being the Jews, okay? And that bread being the gospel, the bread being the salvation message of Jesus Christ, and then the dog are the Gentiles. The dog that is waiting there, waiting to get something from the table, just a little bit of scrap. And you know those dogs are constant. They don't stop. They whine, they whimper, they wag their tail, they make really sad looking faces, but they just want just a little bitty piece of whatever you're having. And that's exactly what this woman had. She'd heard of what Jesus had been teaching. She heard of the miracles that Jesus had been doing. And she just wanted just a little bitty peace. And she just wanted just a little bit to heal her daughter, that demon-possessed daughter. She knew that if she just got a little bit, it would be enough to overcome those demons. And how great is that when we say that just a little bit of Jesus is enough to overtake the demons? And we have strength in that. We understand that we have power because Jesus overcomes those demons in our lives. You understand that? You understand the power that comes through the Holy Spirit? You understand the power that we have when we trust in Jesus and live for Him each and every day? He gives us the strength to do things that we can't do on our own. And this young woman, she comes to Him and she says, listen, Lord, I know that You're coming to the Jews. I know that it's not my time yet, but please, Lord, please just give me a piece, just a scrap of what You got. I'll take it. Please heal my daughter. And she gets down on her face and bowing down before Him and asks just for a piece. And He sees this faith that she has and He says, but she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Again, giving reference to Christ being the Messiah. And Jesus said to her, oh, woman, your faith is great. it shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. Folks, I want you to go back and think about the lessons that we've been going through in the Gospels and the things that you've heard about the disciples. Multiple different stories about the disciples being in boats. And what happens in those boats? Most of the time, either Jesus is sleeping and the wind and the rain rises up and they start to freak out and they say, Lord, Lord, save us, we're going to die. And he wakes up, wipes the sleep out of his eye, he calms the wind, he calms the rain, he calms whatever else, everything is good, and he says, you have little faith. The story with Peter, where Jesus walks on the water out to the boat and he calls out to Jesus and he says, Lord, if it's you, call me to you. And so he goes. And he begins to take his eyes off of Jesus. When he takes his eyes off of Jesus, he begins to sink. And when Jesus gets him back to the boat, what does he say to him? You of little faith. You of little faith. Why did you doubt? This woman had no doubts. She wasn't leaving until she got just a little piece from the master's table. She was willing to do whatever it was to get that, to get the healing that her daughter needed. She had faith and trusted that God could do those things for her. Folks, there is a lesson to be learned here this morning. There's a lesson to understand that we must have strong faith in the Lord. We must trust in His Word. We must live for Him daily. Listen, I know that this world holds a lot of pain. It holds a lot of anger. It holds a lot of different things that are junk and just going from here to there and everywhere. But the bottom line is this. Bottom line is this. We put ourselves aside and we trust in the Lord. And we begin that trust. We begin to let Him into our house. Our house, which is our body and our souls, and we begin to let Him go into every room and start to clean it all out. I don't know how many of y'all have come to my house, but I've told y'all you need to call before you come because sometimes, just sometimes, I may have a flock of seagulls looking haircut because I just woke up, or Henry and I haven't got on our pajamas. And most of the time, if you come to my house unannounced or don't call, you're not going to get back to any of the other rooms because they're probably messy, okay? And if I really trusted you all, then I would let you into those rooms. I trust you, but I just don't want you to see my mess, okay? The thing is with Jesus is that when we let Him into our hearts and our lives, we ask Him to come into our lives to save us from our sin, okay? We receive the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit, when we receive the Holy Spirit gets all of us, not just part of us, but all of us. And He begins to do a work in our life. He begins to change who we are. And some of us are stubborn, right? None of us are here, right? None of us are stubborn. None of us have our own ways that are set in our ways and we're not going to do. Listen, it's important that as we become followers of Jesus Christ, that we listen, we read His Word, we study, we become good followers of it. But as the Holy Spirit begins to tug at us and say, hey, that's not part of the plan. You need to not do this. You need to not buy that. That's the one I struggle with. You need to listen to what the Lord is saying as He speaks to you through the Holy Spirit and trust in Him. This woman, she knew that if she had faith, that if she just kept going just enough, that maybe the Lord would show mercy on her and heal her daughter. Jesus sees this phenomenal faith and He grants her a request. And her daughter is immediately healed. That is the power of our Lord. That is what we live for. Hebrews chapter 11, 1-3 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So my question to you this morning is this. Do you have faith like the Chorazin, the town of Chorazin or Bethsaida, where Jesus said, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, if the miracles that were done here were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented and found themselves in sackcloth and ashes. So do you have faith like those folks that God has continued to do miracle after miracle after miracle in front of you? He's answered prayer after prayer after prayer in front of you, and you saw answers to those prayers, and yet you still refuse to trust in Him, and you still refuse to follow Him in your life. Are you like that? Or are you like this Syrophoenician woman at the bottom of the table saying, "Lord, I want more. I need just a little bit more." That is where we got to ask ourselves, where are we at today? Are we like Chorazin? Are we like Bethsaida and Capernaum, which mentions also in there? Or are we like this Canaanite woman who is not going to go anywhere? They're going to stay there at the edge of that table and wait for the master to toss them some scraps. Where are you at today? Who do you follow? Who do you trust in? What is your foundation built on? Folks, there's no other way but through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to live this life except with Jesus as our foundation and the Holy Spirit as our guide and God as our Father. We must trust in Him. Live for Him each and every day and learn from this Syrophoenician woman and the great faith that she had and just wanting just a piece of what the Master has. And folks, we also need to remember that we serve a powerful God. We tend to overshadow what is said there at the end. But it says there at the end of 28, and her daughter was healed at once. Healed at once. Our God has the power to heal. Our God has the power to get things done. And we need to trust in Him. We need to faithfully follow Him and live for Him each and every day. So I ask you, where are you at today? Are you in Chorazin? Are you in Bethsaida? Or you like this Canaanite woman? It works. Where are you at today? In a moment, band's going to come, and I'm going to pray. And I want you to do business with God. I want you to ask the Lord to show you what rooms that you have been keeping from Him in your life, the things that you need to let go and move on. And realize that we, as we covered in Ephesians chapter 4 on Wednesday, we serve one God, one purpose, one plan. And we can move forward in worshiping God and bringing people to the Lord. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. That we see people come to the Lord and we teach them and train them to live for Him each and every day. Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20, I'll say it till the day I die. That we are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, is what Jesus tells us. It is our great commission. And we are to be on mission until the day He calls us home. There's no holidays. There's no sabbaticals. If we are followers in Jesus Christ, if we've truly experienced the grace that comes from the cross, then we are going to live and teach others about Jesus. That's the bottom line. You can't separate it. It's a chain reaction. So where are you at today? Are you Chorazin? Are you Bethsaida? Or are you this Canaanite woman? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we ask You to move now, Father. Lord, we ask that You would begin to speak to the hearts of our folks. Lord, that You would begin to reveal to them what it is, Father, that needs to go. What it is that is hindering us from moving forward in our faith and keeping us back from being faithful followers of You, Lord. Help us to remember what Hebrews chapter 11 says, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. Father, help us to have faith in You, to live for You and trust in You each and every day when the winds and the rain and the storms of life come. Help us to stand firm and to follow You. Lord, move now. Move now, Father. We ask this all in Your name. Amen. You can stand and sing with us. I'll be here in the front if you want to talk, if you want to pray. Let's sing now.
of thy cross.